as the sun starts to come out for longer and longer periods of time, it's, you know what? It's time to grab your bicycle and start enjoying that warm weather. It'll be here. I swear. Dave Cheslevich is with us. He's here for sure. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation. And we're going to talk about bikes, bike paths here in Wisconsin. Zero in on that a little bit. Talk about some of the old and new routes in the state. Maybe you've got a favorite you want to talk about. We'll also talk about this year's Midwest Bicycle Show, which is always a great event, and it's coming up pretty darn quickly here, as you'll find out. It's always great to talk with Dave, and certainly if you have questions or comments or experiences to share, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Hey, if you got a nice biking photo, I'd love to see that. Post that up on the Facebook page as well. Dave Cheslevich, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Morning, Larry. Good to be back.
I tell you what, it's great. And before we start talking about trails and such, tell me about the Wisconsin Bicycle Sure. Federation.
Sure. So the Bike Fed is about 29 years old. We're one of the oldest and largest bicycle advocacy groups in the country. About 7,000 members around the state. And basically what we're about is we're trying to give folks better, safer places to ride a bike. Simple as that. Doesn't matter how you ride or where you ride, whether you're a commuter or you like to ride bike trails or you're a road rider or mountain biker, whatever it is, we're there to try to make cycling safer and more enjoyable for you.
And, you know, I've done a lot of biking across the state of Wisconsin. In fact, I've been from the top of the state to the bottom of the state on my bicycle at the Grab Bar event. And in your mind, what makes Wisconsin a great state for biking?
You know, it really is, and I'm not just bragging here. It is demonstrably one of the best places in the world to ride a bike. And there's a lot of reasons for that. First of all, the topography is just perfect,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's these, you know, you can have challenging rolling hills, especially in the southwest part of the state. You have flat places to ride a bike. And then you have so many paved roads. And we really have, in part, the cycling movement itself. The original good roads movement in the 1890s was driven by bicyclists. But then it's the dairy industry mm-hmm. that really drove the paving of a lot of rural roads in Wisconsin. You go to a lot of states, and once you get off the main highways, you're on gravel.
Yeah.
But in Wisconsin, virtually every road is paved. And that's because of the dairy industry. Obviously, milk trucks needed to get to remote dairy farms every day, even in, you know, this time of year, March and April, when there's a lot of mud. And so that's the reason we have so many great paved roads. So that combination of topography and paved roads is, I think, the primary thing that makes us such a great place.
And we've had, if you think about the number of trails that we have, we know how many miles even of trails that we have?
Mm-hmm. It's about 2,500 miles overall, and adding all the time. And, of course, we boast the nation's first rails-to-trails project, the Elroy Sparta Trail.
Yeah.
1967 was the very first in the country, and, of course, we're proceeding apace with that.
Yeah, I love that trail, by the way.
It's a great trail. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and you go through some of the small towns you go through. You stop and have a root beer or an ice cream or whatever, and just enjoy a wonderful ride.
Sure. Elroy, Sparta, Kendall, all those wonderful places, and, of course, the tunnels.
That's kind of a fun. That's a fun part of that whole trip.
Particularly on a hot day.
On a hot day. Oh, man. Well, you know what? Ben in Madison has a question for you, so let's go there. Ben, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. So, my question is how to prepare for biking, camping, combining it. So, you know, I go up, like you did, Larry, up the state, and how far can I get, and how to plan it, prepare it, what to pack, and all these questions, and also where to...
Oh!
Did we lose Ben?
Well, I think Ben.
We got the question.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. A lot more people are doing this. Yeah, I started we used to call it bike packing when I was in high school. And in those days, you know, you just put on a cut-off pair of jeans and a T-shirt, and, off you went. You know, we would roll our clothes into our sleeping bags and lash them down on the back of our bikes with bungee cords, and that was it. You know, but today, you know, there's at least a couple ways to do it, and one way is called credit card biking, and if you're comfortable enough fiscally and you want to do that, then you could pretty much hop on your bike and grab a credit card and go from place to place and have everything you need. But if you want to be a little bit more rugged about it, first thing you need, obviously, is the right kind of bike. You want something that's relatively light. There are touring bikes which are set up to bike long distances on roads. So if you're going to go a long ways for several days, touring bike is the best thing to get. Panniers really are kind of a must. Panniers are basically sort of like saddlebags for the sides of your bike, and you can carry a lot of stuff in those, sometimes a little too much. You want to pack light if you can. You want to have the right clothes. You want to be prepared for the rain because that will happen to you. Obviously, you want to be wearing a helmet. Most folks these days like to wear biking shoes and clips. It's not necessary, but it does give you a little more torque and lift as you're pedaling along. Obviously, you want to know routes. These days, it's easier than ever. With apps on your phone and Google Maps, you can find safe routes to bike on, but obviously you want to plan that out in advance. And, of course, you want to plan your stops, places that you might be able to camp or stay in a hotel.
Yeah. You know, I've tried on a couple-day events. Once I tried my backpack instead of the panniers, and your back gets so sweaty.
Makes you a little top heavy too.
It makes you a top heavy. Yeah. It's not one I
recommend. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you want to try it out, if you have not done a lot of distance biking, the Bike Fed is sponsoring some events over the course of the next 2 months. So between March 12th and May 12th, we're running what we call the Spring Series, Spring Classic Series. And it's got kind of a fun European theme. So we're biking to places like New Glarus from Madison or Rome, Wisconsin, or Belgium, Wisconsin, places like that. There's about a dozen of those rides. And they're member-led rides. They're called no-drop rides, which means we don't leave anybody behind. They're for people of, you know, moderate skills, right? So if you can bike, say, 12 to 14 miles an hour and you can put in, say, 40 or 50 miles, this is a good ride for you. And it would be a good way to test out some of that equipment.
I like that idea. And those are usually the cost of that. It's not very great.
The cost of the rides themselves or the... well, our rides are actually free. So
there's no cost.
Yeah. So the rides that the Bike Fed is sponsoring, the Spring Classic rides, those are free and open to the public. They're member-led rides. And all you got to do is show up at the right place at the right time. But again, I'd say if you're able to bike, say, 12 miles an hour consistently for 40 or 50 miles, this would be the ride for you.
Okay. Leah in Menominee, thanks for calling. Hi. Oh, just a second here. Let's get you on. Now I think I've got you on. Hi, Leah.
Hi. I'm the tourism director here in Menominee, and I just kind of wanted to do some trail updates for any of our listeners who might be interested in coming to Menominee.
Yeah,
we got the Lake Menominee Loop, which is a beautiful bike trail that goes around Lake Menominee, and it's a little bit easier, someone who's looking for an easier ride. We got Logger's Loop expanding, I think hopefully at the end of this year that will be expanding over the interstate. That's another rails-to-trail system that will be expanded. And I always want to promote and encourage people to come out on the Red Cedar State Trail.
Oh, that's a beautiful trail.
Yeah, about 14 and a half miles that links up with the Chippewa trails, and you can bike all the way to Eau Claire if you want. And we've got a lot of great small stops along the way.
Well, thank you very much, Leah, for calling. And Dave, have you been on that Red Cedar trail?
I have.
That's a nice one.
It's a beautiful trail. And let me just offer a resource to your listeners, Larry. That's great information from Menominee. You can go online and get information really about every place in the state. So you just go to Ride On Wisconsin. So R-I-D-E, rideonwisconsin.com. And this is a website that the Bike Fed maintains. And what we have on here is all of the places to ride, all of the trails, and all of the, well, as many events as we can get listed. And you can also find bike shops, lodging, restaurants. It's a really easy-to-use page. And I just typed in Menominee, Wisconsin, within 100 miles. And I got all of these great resources, really too many to mention. And so if folks want to take a look at that while we're talking, I think they'd have some fun finding great places to ride.
Yeah. Leah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Lexi, do you want to put that right on Wisconsin.com up on our Facebook page? We'll put that up there, and so we've got a direct link to it in case you didn't get it all written down. On to Kenneth in Janesville. Hi, Ken. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I wondered about electrically assisted bicycles. Will the latest technology be available at the bike show?
Yes, I believe it will. The bike show here in Madison is actually run by Budget Bikes. Roger Charlie there, great guy.
Yeah.
And Roger's been running this show for years. It used to be called Bike-O-Rama. So for those of you who are wondering what happened to Bike-O-Rama, they changed the name of it, and now it's the Midwest Bike Show. But in any event, yeah, Roger's got literally he'll have thousands of bikes there and some electric. This is interesting. Electric bikes are really starting to come on. For whatever reason, for many years, they had caught on in Europe, but they were not so much catching on in the United States. That's changing now rapidly, and people are really starting to adopt these things. In fact, at the Bike Fed, we're working on some legislation to help govern where these things are most appropriately used. So the legislation copies some legislation from California, which kind of has the gold standard on this. Basically, it breaks these electric bikes into three classes based on how fast they can go.
Yeah.
And then kind of suggests where they're most appropriately used. But at the Bike Fed, we think it's great because it introduces biking to a whole bunch of people who, for whatever reason, would have difficulty getting around on a regular bicycle. We don't think it's detracting from cycling at all. We think it's actually opening up cycling to a lot of folks who wouldn't do it otherwise.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Kenneth, thank you so much. And so let's talk a little bit more before we go back to the phones about the event, the bike Midwest Bike Show.
Yeah, so that runs Friday through Sunday.
This coming Friday.
This coming Friday through Sunday here at the Alliant Energy Center. Roger will have tons of bikes on sale there. Whatever you're looking for, he'll certainly be able to help you out on that, whether it's a touring bike, as we talked about, or a road bike, a mountain bike, electric bikes. The Bike Fed will have a tent there. If it's like previous years, it'll be the first thing you see when you walk in, and you can see us there at the bike show. One of the things we always have and try to have on tap by the time this happens every year is our annual ride guide. And the ride guide is a publication that lists every event that we can track down in the state that year. So this year, I think it's about 250 events.
Oh.
And you can pick up a free copy of that at our tent.
Oh, that's wonderful. What's the cost to get into this? Is there a small cost, isn't it?
That's a very good question, Larry, and I should know the answer to that. My recollection is that there has not been a cost in the past, that it's been free.
All right. So there we go. Maybe a small parking charge.
There is a parking fee when you go into the Alliant Energy Center. But, of course, if you ride your bike to the Alliant Energy Center.
That's right.
I suppose it may be difficult to ride a bike and also buy one and take it away, unless you're very skilled. If you ride your bike, it's absolutely free. Yep.
There you go. And there's, as a matter of fact, a nice trail that takes you right to within the spitting distance of the Alliant Energy Center. So there you go. Let's go to Sam in Trempealeau next, Trempealeau County. Hi, Sam.
Yes, hello. I have a two-pronged question. One is started by the mention of electronic bikes, and I have a few friends who are interested in electronic bikes and would like to try to get out like they used to. And I know in our national parks, state parks, we have a system for disabled people with perhaps electronic wheelchairs and scooters to get them about. Will the electronic bikes, and is the Beck Bike Federation have a policy about this, be open to, on the rails, to trails and such, the electronic bikes for disabled people?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one question, and then I'll take it off the air, but the second question then quickly is, when I did teach in Madison, now I'm living in Trapolo County, where I'm excited to see lots of road touring, I was teaching for the botany department, and we'd go to field trip sites, and we would show and see quite a bit of damage from off-road bicycling on pedestrian trails and the damage it did, not just, well, fully environmentally. So yeah. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling.
All right. So let me start out with a disclaimer. I am the executive director of the Bike Fed, which means I know just enough to be dangerous about a lot of stuff. But when it comes to a lot of detail, there are people at the Bike Fed who are actually productive people who do work. I'm the executive director. So, you know, take that for what it be. I'm a 30,000-foot guy is what I'm trying to say. So I'm going to be cautious about how I answer this question with the caveat that I hope I'm not leading anyone astray. I believe the rule right now is for electric bikes that if you're on a trail, you can be on a trail with your electric bike, but you can't have your electric motor engaged on the trail. The legislation that the Bike Fed is researching right now would allow the motor to be engaged under as long as you're keeping the bike at a certain speed.
Yeah.
So that's the reform we're doing. The specific question was about disabled folks, and there I'm just going to have to defer. I don't quite know what the answer is under current law for disabled people who might want to ride an electric bike on a trail. I don't know if there's a special exception for that circumstance.
Yeah.
And I would defer to anybody who might call in who might know the answer to that. I think the other question the person
had to do with off-roading and the problems that can occur.
That's become, I think it's fair to say, much less of a problem in recent decades. There's a very good organization out there called IMBA, the International Mountain Biking Association. And they have done great work in helping folks build trails responsibly. So build them in a way that doesn't contribute to runoff and erosion either during the building of the trail or during the actual use of the trail. So I think it's fair to say, well, that was a serious concern when mountain biking was just starting out. The science, the technology, the best practices in building trails and maintaining them has improved a whole lot.
Yeah, it has. I really enjoyed the Olympics, the last Olympics, and watching the, I guess you might call it off-road bicycle racing. I don't know if you had a chance to see any of it, Dave, but it's really a lot of fun to watch.
It is.
Not something I'd be doing, but
it's amazing what some of these folks are able to do on a bicycle.
Dave Tefslevich, our guest today. He is executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation, talking with him about biking and bike paths in Wisconsin. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Lexi Brode, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. So happy that you're with us here on the Ideas Network. And, you know, while you're visiting the Midwest Bicycle Show, you'll also be able to take in Canoocopia, which is also at the same location at the same time. We'll talk about that in a little bit with our next guest, Aaron Bush. But right now we're taking a look at biking and bike paths in Wisconsin with Dave Tefslevich. Again, you join in at 1-800-642-1234. We had a question about kits for pedal-assisted e-bikes. And, you know, something like that, Dave, I bet they're going to probably find somebody to be able to talk about it at the Midwest Bike Show.
You might be talking about, now you can convert your conventional bicycle to an electric bicycle, and there are kits to accomplish that.
Okay.
So, that's what she might be referring to. But yeah, you can show up at the Midwest Bike Show and there'll be somebody there who can talk to you about it.
Andrea on Facebook recommends the Wisconsin High School Cycling League for our younger listeners. It's a program for middle and high school students. We've got over 400 students participating last year from programs across the state. So the Wisconsin High School Cycling League.
Great organization. Yep.
Yeah. Let's go to Cindy next in State Drive Falls, I believe. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I live in St. Croix Falls.
St. Croix Falls. Sorry.
Yeah. Say, my husband and I are avid cyclists, and we've done Ride the Rockies a few times, and I've actually lived all over the country, and I'm just curious, in just comparing Wisconsin and Minnesota, why Wisconsin has opted to do more crushed limestone and Minnesota has such a wonderful trail system where they're mostly paved.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the simple answer is funding. Wisconsin, frankly, is falling behind a little bit, particularly to Minnesota, in our funding of the state trail system. And it's one of the things that the Bike Fed is working on. The trail passes, and we always encourage people to buy trail passes. They are required on state trails. They're only $25 for a full year. And that helps fund the trails that we all use, but those resources only amount to about $1.1 million a year, and it's a fraction of what we really need to maintain our trails, much less pave more of them. So it's one thing we're working on with the legislature.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Cindy. Tim in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Tim.
Yes, good morning, and thanks to Dave for what he does to promote biking. We need so much more of that than driving our cars. But I was wondering if he could just fill us in on that gap in the bike trail between the east side of Madison and the trail that goes down to Lake Mills and eventually Milwaukee. Between Madison and Cottage Grove, there's that gap, and I've heard that that's going to be completed at some point, but I just wondered where that was at this point.
Well, thanks, Tim. My recollection on that is that it is proceeding. I know that County Executive Joe Parisi here in Dane County is working on that, and my recollection, again, could be faulty, but my recollection is that that is actually planned to take place just within the course of the next few years. But it's on top of, I know it's on the county executive's agenda as one of his priority items. It's true. It's just this one gap, six
yeah.
miles, basically from Milwaukee to the Mississippi River almost, and that does need to get filled in.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it gets done soon. I've often had to. I like that ride from Cottage Grove down to Milwaukee. It's a nice ride.
That is a great ride.
Sometimes I'll just take my swimming trunks and stop at Lake Mills and take a little dip, and it's just a great.
That is a beautiful ride for anyone who hasn't done it. You can drive to Cottage Grove. There's a parking lot right there, and
yeah.
you can hop on your bike and you can ride all the way to the lakefront in
yeah,
Milwaukee,
you can.
Really, virtually on trail all the way. There's a little gap in Milwaukee, but
go across some streets
ride.
Or roads, but yep. that's about
you got to hook up with the Hank Aaron State Trail
yeah.
in Milwaukee. But once you do that, yeah, it's terrific.
Yeah, we have Maurice in Madison up next. Hi, Maurice. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks. I wonder if there's any interest in the Bike Federation in either policing or at least trying to enforce behavior standards on the bike paths. Here in Madison, and I especially use the John Nolan bike path, and there's a particular type of bike rider who tries to dominate the path, and the worst is when they are coming from the opposite direction and try and bully you off the path. And my technique is to just go closer to the middle, and it just... You know, it's my little behavior modification device, but it's typically people who wear a certain type of clothing, and they are always in racing mode.
Yeah.
As if everybody else is supposed to go along with their routine.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're talking about Larry Mueller there.
No, I'm not. Well, I've experienced what Maurice is talking about. I would say that.
But not
I
from the offending part. Yeah. So this is something the Bike Fed spends, actually, the majority of our resources on is public education. We run a program called Share and Be Aware, and it's a statewide program which provides information, encourages folks to be courteous on the bike path, not just bike paths, but everywhere you ride a bike, and makes folks aware of the rules of the road. We also educate drivers, so we have a program that educates driving drivers ed instructors on how drivers can be safer around cyclists and pedestrians. We run a program called Safe Routes to School, which educates fourth and fifth graders about how to ride safely. So it is something that is a never-ending task. But I understand what Maurice is saying. You know, it doesn't take too many riders acting selfishly or inappropriately to give everybody a bad name. And so I can't promise that we can get to everybody, but it's a very big part of what the Bike Fed does.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Again, you can join in 800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Michael emailed to ask what you think about Idaho stop laws, cyclists treating stop as a yield sign, and if that could work in Wisconsin, well, or even in Madison.
Yeah, so the Idaho stop basically is, frankly, a law that would conform with the way most people ride a bicycle. Yeah. So the truth is, you know, most folks, when they get to a stop sign, particularly in a quiet residential neighborhood, it's the rare cyclist that actually completely stops her bike and puts her foot down, right? And because you have to somehow mesh the laws of human beings with the laws of physics. And obviously, if you're on a bicycle, you know something about getting your bicycle started from a full stop. And so that's the way most people ride. And Idaho has recognized that. And so under certain circumstances, you don't have to come to a complete stop in that state. We've looked at that law. Right now, the Bike Fed has a legislative agenda that doesn't include that. We're more focused right now on funding, to be honest with you. The state transportation budget obviously will be a big issue, and we're focusing a lot on that. Obviously, the underfunding of our state trails is a concern for us. So, while personally, I think the Idaho stop is a good idea, in this legislature, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think it would have much of a chance of passing, and so we're not investing time in that right now.
I was going to ask you about the, just to turn back to the Midwest Bike Show this weekend, are there speakers or events of that nature at the show?
Yes, there have been in the past. I assume that Roger has planned them again for this year. There'll be he'll have workshops on, basic bicycle repair, how to repair a tire and how to get your bike correctly aligned and so forth. So I would imagine that they will have those things, yeah.
As well. Okay. And we take some more calls here at 800-642-1234. Give a call. This new bike route, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Dave, but it looks like once it's all completed, it'll be a dandy.
Yeah, this is U.S. Bike Route 30. So there is an organization, a national organization, called Adventure Cycling, and they have been promoting U.S. bike routes, routes really going all across the country. And then, of course, within states, we'd have our own routes. And so U.S. Bike Route 30, and it would be numbered just like the highway system is. And this one would go from Winona, Minnesota to Milwaukee. And actually, the Bike Fed has been working on the planning of this. And we're down to one very small piece that we need to get planned. Actually, in northern Dane County, I believe. And then this will be something that you can see on a map and eventually signed. And it's a combination of trails and on-road cycling. Mm-hmm. But it would get you all the way from Winona, Minnesota to Milwaukee.
So sort of like doing the Grabar here in Wisconsin, where it's a combination of trails and biking.
Yeah, it gets back to this idea that people are looking for safe and fun places to ride a bike. And so this effort to create bike routes is really about giving people those places. Now, there are too many people who will do the whole thing and in one fell swoop, but obviously any portion of this will be, by its designation, a safe and fun place to ride. And it's actually part of a bigger program that we have here in Wisconsin. We've also worked on a plan together with DNR and DOT to create a state bikeways network in the state of Wisconsin, a numbered system, just like we have a numbered highway system.
Yeah.
And the study has been completed. The agencies are reviewing it, and it should go out for public comment, I would hope, sometime this spring or summer.
Oh, excellent. Michael in Madison has something for us. Michael, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. I have a question and a comment. I wonder if your guests would know how many bicyclists are residents of Wisconsin. And the comment I have is, on electrical bikes, using electricity is bad, especially when it's being created by fossil fuel plants like Madison has and most of Wisconsin has, either coal or gas that they fuel in order to produce electricity.
Yeah. Sure. Well, first things first, sadly, nobody knows. Nobody has a very good handle on a number for how many bicyclists there are in Wisconsin. There's about, I want to say, 5.5 million people in the state. I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that about half of those folks get on a bicycle at least once a year.
Yeah.
So it could be somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5 million people who at least get on a bicycle once during the season. But we don't have a very good handle on that. You know, as regards the electric bike issue, you know, we're talking about such a very tiny amount of electricity being used here that I would say that the benefits far outweigh any of the costs. Some of these things obviously are self-generating, so they don't necessarily require electricity generated somewhere else. But even the ones that use batteries and need to be recharged, you know, you're talking a very small amount of electricity. And, of course, in some cases, people will be using these to displace car trips, which are obviously going to be far more polluting.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan in Eau Claire, your turn now. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Larry.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to getting out on my bike this year. Here in Eau Claire, we just built a new bridge over Water Street, and I know they're trying to be a little more progressive, like what they're maybe doing in out west, but they've got a right-hand bike lane on the very far right. There's two lanes going in each direction, and then they move that bike lane to the middle between the two lanes, and you're riding for at least 100 yards in the middle of, there could be cars on either the right or left of you, depending if the car is going to go straight or turn right. And then, of course, if you're going to turn right, you've got to move back over. I'm just kind of curious, is Wisconsin ready for that kind of progressiveness and bike etiquette? I mean, to me, it's going to take a lot of education for the drivers, and I just don't understand why we just don't keep people in the right-hand lane, or is that a new
thing? Is that
Well, first of all, without knowing the details of exactly the place, it's difficult for me to comment on that one. If you go to Washington, D.C., for example, you will find quite a few of these kinds of installations. I think even on Pennsylvania Avenue, you'll be riding in the middle of Pennsylvania. I've ridden that, and at first it's a little bit disconcerting, but then you actually end up feeling quite comfortable there. Just the general comment is that, you know, bicycle infrastructure and traffic engineering related to bicycle stuff is an evolving practice. And lots of things get tried and sometimes don't work. I'll give you an example right here from Madison. I used to have a city job here in Madison, and I put in a bicycle lane on the Capitol Square. And I thought this would be great because we put parking back on the square and a bicycle lane next to the parking. Cyclists didn't like it at all. And because they didn't want to be there. Everybody knows if you ride a bicycle, you're always very aware where those seams are between pieces of concrete. Well, it turned out just the way the lane worked out, it put the seam right in the middle of the lane. Nobody liked that. So we scrubbed out the bicycle lane and people were happy. So there's an odd example of actually losing a bike lane and making bicyclists happy. So sometimes it's a question of trial and error. You try different things and if they don't work, you go back to something else.
Thanks, Dan, for calling. And Rob in Viroqua, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Rob.
Hi, guys. And by the way, this is probably one of my favorite subjects, so thank you for it.
Sure.
So my wife and I have been married for, this July will be 6 years, and every year for our anniversary, we do a biking trip for a weekend.
Yeah.
And we stay at usually a bed and breakfast, and we've had some really, really fun and neat trips. I'm just kind of wondering, not that we've ran out of ideas, trust me, but I'm just wondering if there was any suggestions for a really fun one.
A weekend anniversary bike trip. What do you think, Dave Cheslevich?
Well, I've been married for 27 years, and one of the reasons is that my wife and I don't bike together or canoe together.
Yeah.
We've tried both and decided to remain married. But anyway, it's great to hear that someone's being successful at that. Well, again, I would direct you back to Ride on Wisconsin. So I think Larry's got that up.
Yeah, rideonwisconsin.com.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And there again, you could just pick a place in the state. Wherever you're interested in going, pick a radius, say 100 miles, and it will give you every place to ride a bike, events, places to stay, lodging, restaurants, bike shops, everything's right there. So I think it's a great tool for you. Now, you know, off the top of my head, hard to beat the Elroy Sparta Trail.
Yeah.
Lots of great towns along the way, beautiful ride. Door County, of course, has just tons of great places to ride a bike. I should probably stop there because there's going to be tourism and visitor bureaus all across the state saying, why didn't he mention us? But I'd go to Ride in Wisconsin and plan a trip that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Does Minnesota have the same type of website, too? Because last year we went to Red Wing, and that was really... really cool.
No, you don't want to go to Minnesota. Minnesota's a terrible place. You want to stay in Wisconsin and spend your money here. I don't know why anyone goes to Minnesota.
There we go. Oh, Rob, thank you so much for that question. And it was a good question because it did get us to back to mentioning rideonwisconsin.com. And Dave, boy, always a pleasure. Thanks. So you'll come back and be with us again, I hope.
Anytime you invite me, I'm here.
Dave Cheslevich is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation. Great to have him back to visit. It's been a long time since he and I chatted here on the air, and so it won't be so long next time around. He was talking about the Midwest Biking Event, Midwest Bicycle Show, and at the same time as the show, this is a twofer for you. Two for one. While you're there, you can also go over and visit Canoecopia and talk about canoes and other paddle sports. And that's what we're going to be talking about next here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.